Pleasure to welcome you to the worship service this morning. So happy that you are here. And we give a special welcome to those who are joining us on the World Wide Web. The focus of the message this morning is going to be on the shepherd versus the hireling. And in the scripture this morning, Brother Jerry read that scripture that contrasts the shepherd and the hireling. So I'd like to make just a few introductory observations before we go to scripture and look at some of the scriptural texts to indicate the difference between a shepherd and a hireling. Let's look at some of the characteristics of the shepherd first. The shepherd owns the sheep. Now here, of course, we're speaking in metaphorical terms, spiritual terms. The term shepherd is applied oftentimes to a spiritual leader. Sometimes this spiritual leader is called a pastor. And the word pastor comes from the same root word as pastoral. And pastoral has to do with that which is country life, country living, country values, especially having to do with sheep. So when we call a spiritual shepherd a pastor, we're really calling him a shepherd, because a shepherd and a pastor function on the same level in the same way. So the shepherd, or we could say here the pastor, but in this case, of course, it's Christ. The shepherd, the good shepherd, we're going to learn from the text that we'll be reading that the good shepherd is Christ himself, and that he indeed did make us. He owns us. Not only did he participate in creating us at creation time, but he also redeemed us by giving of his life so that we have the assurance of eternal life. So Christ, the model shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, owns the sheep. And of course you and I symbolically are the sheep. And we know that the shepherd also is concerned about protecting his sheep. The physical shepherd, the model shepherd here on this earth, uses a rod and a staff. Now, a rod is a big, heavy stick that he uses to beat off wolves or bears that may come and try to steal the sheep. And then the staff is a stick with a crook on the end, and when the sheep falls into a ravine or into a hole, he's able to put the crook under the front legs of the lamb or of the sheep and pull the sheep or lamb to safety. So another responsibility of the shepherd is to protect by the rod and staff from the wolves and the bears. Another responsibility of the shepherd is to provide food and water for the sheep. If you've ever had sheep, ever raised sheep, you know that they are very dependent upon the shepherd. They are not really an animal that can fend for themselves. They need support. They need help. They need to be provided food and water. They need to be provided shelter. One of the qualities of the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is that that relationship is a personal relationship. The shepherd spends time with his sheep, and as he spends time with those sheep, there is a relationship that's built up. And there's a lesson here for us. If we want to build a relationship with the good shepherd, we need to spend time with him. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time in Bible study. And so there is a personal relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. And this is developed by spending time with the sheep and the sheep spending time with the shepherd. We also know that the sheep clearly identify the master's voice. We're told that every human voice has a distinct characteristic, just as every human finger has a distinct fingerprint. And so the shepherd, spending time with his sheep, developing a relationship, building a relationship with his sheep, is able to use his voice, that unique voice that he has, to give direction and to give instruction to his sheep. And the sheep know the master's voice. When the master speaks, the sheep understand that this is their master and they will follow. In early days, during the time of Christ and later, many times there would be a community well, and the shepherds would bring their sheep to the community well for drinking. Well, you can imagine what would happen if you have 20 sheep and your neighbor has 20 sheep and another neighbor has 20 sheep. You have 50, 60, 70, 80 sheep together and you own 20. How are you going to know which are yours and which aren't? And as far as I know at that time, they didn't use markings to identify the ownership. Well, one of the ways that the shepherd would be able to separate the sheep was by voice calling. He would step outside the group of sheep, and he would call his sheep. And those sheep knew his voice, and they would follow him. And the other shepherd would do the same, the other shepherd the same. So this was one of the practical ways that the shepherd could separate his sheep from the others and make sure that he had his sheep and not someone else's. Another characteristic between the sheep and the master is that the sheep trust the master. Now, in Edith's lesson this morning, she pointed out that there were some of the spies. 10 of the spies didn't trust their master. There were only 2 spies that did. But when there is a perfect relationship built between the sheep and the shepherd, we know that this relationship builds trust in the master. Also, we know that the good shepherd, the true shepherd, the perfect shepherd is willing. He may not have to do this, but the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep if indeed there be such a need. Fighting off wolves, fighting off bears, he may lose his life in the process, but he has committed himself to protecting and providing for those sheep. And we know that the good shepherd, the great shepherd, did just that. He laid down his life so that you and I, through belief in him and through belief in the shedding of his blood, can have the assurance of eternal life. And so the model shepherd did indeed lay down his life for his sheep. And we're going to learn also, as we look at several texts this morning, that the good shepherd, becoming a shepherd, is a calling. It's not a job. It's something that you're called to do. And if you're not called to be a shepherd, then you shouldn't be a shepherd. But if you're called to be a shepherd, then it's your responsibility and it's your privilege to do just that. So these are some of the characteristics of the shepherd, some of the characteristics of the relationship that's built between the good shepherd and his sheep. Now, just a few comments here in contrast on the hireling. Brother Jerry pointed out in his scripture this morning, a hireling is someone who is paid to do a job. And if he is a shepherd, and he's a paid shepherd, that he is called a hireling. But if he is not paid, he's just called a shepherd. But what would be the difference between a hireling and a shepherd? Well, the first is, and I've just alluded to it, the first major difference, Brother Bill, is that the shepherd is not paid, and the hireling is paid. And so there is the possibility always that the hireling is doing his shepherding for money rather than for his love for the sheep. But a hireling works for compensation. Another negative aspect of a hireling is that he tends not to have personal attention to the sheep because he doesn't own them. The farmer has hired him to look after the sheep. For him, it's simply a job. And consequently, he doesn't have that personal relationship. He hasn't developed that personal knowledge of each of his sheep, the needs of each of his sheep. And so there's little or no personal attachment, little or no emotional attachment to the sheep that he is that he is shepherding. Oftentimes, the hireling is more interested in money than he is in the welfare of his sheep. And it's very rare that one will find a hireling who is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. A bear comes, the hireling decides that he is going to run for safety, protect himself, and so he runs and leaves the sheep at the mercy of the wild animal and consequently tries to save his life. So to the hireling then, looking after sheep is a job. He's being paid for it. It's simply something that he's being, a responsibility that he's being asked to do for money. Whereas the shepherd is a shepherd because it's a calling, because he owns the sheep, and because he wants to protect and care for and save those sheep. Now sometimes we think that the shepherd-sheep image is simply used in the New Testament, but that isn't the case. We know from various passages in the Old Testament that this same imagery is used, and I'd like to refer to several passages from the Old Testament to illustrate this. At the time of Ahab, who was king of Israel, Ahab inquired whether he should go into battle against the Syrians. And he first asked all of his own prophets, who said that he should go into battle because he would win. These are his prophets. But Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, who was allied at the same time, suggested, no, we need to make sure that this is the right move before we move against the enemies, the Syrians. So in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 7, we read, "And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" Now Ahab had been going to the heathen prophets, and the heathen prophets said, yeah, go ahead. You go ahead and attack the Syrians and you can win. But Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, Ahab was the king of Israel in the north, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah in the south, Jehoshaphat said, but you've been asking your prophets of Baal, but what about the prophets of God? Don't we have a prophet of God here? Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micah, the son of Emaiah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. So King Ahab said, yeah, we have a prophet of God here. Well, have you consulted him? Oh, no. Well, why didn't you consult the prophet of God? Well, when I consult the prophet of God, he doesn't tell me what I want to hear. So if he's not going to tell me what I want to hear, then I'm not going to consult him. Well, when Micah came to the king, he said, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 17, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And so the godly prophet comes and he says to Ahab, don't do this. It's not going to work out. I was in vision and I saw that all of Israel was scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house. So under the rule of Ahab, these people were lost. He was supposed to be the king, the leader. But he was not a king. He was a king, but he was not a spiritual leader. He wouldn't listen to the prophets of God. And so the situation here is compared to that of sheep without a shepherd. Ahab was not a shepherd. And so the people of Israel had become lost in their way. And then in Numbers 27:15, Moses here is speaking. And Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And here again, we see in the Old Testament where we have God's people without adequate leadership being called sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take these, Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay hands upon him. And so Moses takes Joshua and anoints him to be the shepherd, to be the spiritual leader of God's people. So in this case, God provided a shepherd in the form of Joshua, who in a sense prefigured the great shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who came to save and protect and provide for us. Now let's look in the New Testament at several passages which again uses this symbolism, this imagery, the shepherd and the sheep. The most notable parable concerning sheep and shepherds was the one told by Jesus about the good shepherd. We find this in John chapter 10, starting with verse 1. John 10:1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So what we're having done here is contrasting the thief and the robber with the good shepherd. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. There is one way, brother and sister, into the kingdom, and that door is Jesus Christ. If we want to enter into the kingdom, into eternal life, we must go through the sheep door. We must go through Christ Himself, that of the good shepherd. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And here is the personal quality of the shepherd, the personal relationship that the shepherd has built up with his sheep. He knows his sheep. He can call them by name. And he knows their particular needs. He knows their particular problems. And so he knows your particular needs and your particular problems, because you're not just one in mass. You are one, an individual, to the great shepherd. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now the good shepherd is going to lead the way. He's going to prove the pathway. He's going to pave the pathway for the sheep. And so this is what Christ did for us. He came and he paved the way, and he served as a model of a shepherd for us. He putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The question we have this morning is, do we listen to and do we know the voice of Christ when he speaks to us through his Spirit? Are we in touch? Are we in connection with the Spirit? Then he goes on to talk about the stranger. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Sheep follow. They like to follow. They like a leader. And Christ has led the way for us. But the stranger comes in, trying to upset the flock. And the stranger says to the flock, Come this way, or go that way. But the flock, knowing the voice of the master, ignore him and won't follow the false stranger, the false leader, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. So the parable then is contrasting the shepherd with the robber, the shepherd with the stranger. And the sheep know the voice of the master, but the sheep run from the voice of the stranger. Also in John chapter 10, verse 7, we have this same imagery being used. Then Jesus said unto them again, this is John 10, 7, then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. He's saying, if you want to come into the kingdom, want to come into my sheepfold, want to be one of my sheep, then you must come through the sheep door, and I am that sheep door. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's an affirmative promise. He shall be saved. There's no equivocation. There's no perhaps or maybe. But if we come into the sheepfold through the sheep door, we will be saved. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So are we experiencing the abundant life of the sheep that follow the shepherd, the sheep that go into the sheepfold through the door, Christ Himself? If we are doing this, then we know that we too may have life and have it more abundantly here and now. Jesus then went on to contrast himself with the false prophets in the analogy of the good shepherd and the hireling. This is where our scripture comes from this morning, contrasting the good shepherd with the hireling. John 10:11, starting with verse 11 and reading on. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Repeats this. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. So he's making a contrast here. I am your shepherd. I am not a hireling. You can trust me. When hard times come, when that wolf comes, and life has many wolves, when the wolf comes, I can assure you that I will be there with you to give you guidance and protection and give you direction. However, the hireling runs and the sheep are scattered when the wolf comes. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Isn't that a sad commentary? Someone who is hired to take care of the sheep, but when the wolf comes, they run. Why? Because they care not for the sheep. They are not personally involved. They don't own the sheep. And so they're simply doing this for a job. They're doing it for the money. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. The Lord, Jesus Christ, knows you. He knows your needs. He knows your problems. He knows your concerns. And he is there at your beck and call at any time. For guidance, for your protection, for your guidance. I am the good shepherd, know my sheep, and have known of mine. He's a personal God. He's a personal Savior, not some abstraction. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And it wouldn't be too long after he made this statement until he did just that. And then he goes on to say, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That is, here he is amplifying the message in Matthew 28 that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because there are sheep out in the world, there are sheep in the flocks of strangers who need to be saved, who are searching for salvation, who are searching for truth. And Jesus says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, that is, not in this fold yet. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Sometimes as we witness, as we sow the seeds of truth, we get discouraged. It seems that people would prefer to believe error rather than truth. This is one of the conundrums, one of the riddles of mankind, why he tends to believe error rather than truth. But we know this is so, and so we tend to become discouraged. We sow seed, and oftentimes we don't reap the kind of harvest that we're looking for. But brother and sister, it takes patience. The Old Testament kings of Israel, who had left the people as sheep without a shepherd, were examples of these hirelings. King Ahab, for example, was a perfect model, a perfect example of a hireling. Someone who was not a true shepherd. Someone who indeed was not called to be a shepherd. He was called, but he refused the invitation. And also we know that there are many hirelings in Christian churches. Pastors that pastor for money rather than because they are called by the good shepherd. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "The elders which are among you exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And then he goes on to say, feed the flock of God. That's the responsibility, primary responsibility of the spiritual shepherd, to feed the flock. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, that is, not by compulsion, not because you have to. Don't become a shepherd because you have to, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or money, but of a ready mind. Here, Peter is saying, when you go out to begin churches, to start churches. And these people were going out beginning churches. The early churches were simply churches that met in people's homes. So Peter is saying, we need to look for leaders. We need to look for shepherds for these little churches that are not hirelings, that are not going to be practicing shepherding for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, that is, they have been called by God to be this shepherd. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Try to find men, shepherds, starting these new churches. Try to find men who are going to be good examples. Examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And this is the promise that Peter gives these young people who are going out. He's sending out to begin these churches, start these early Christian churches. Just remember that there's a crown of glory that is waiting, and this crown of glory will not fade away. It's as though this chief shepherd, it is through this chief shepherd, I should say, that we have our hope for eternal life. And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Here again he's called the great shepherd of the sheep. "Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the blood that he shed for you and me, make you perfect in every good work to do his will." Amen. We have the power through Jesus' blood to do his will, to do his work, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. One of the most beloved poems of the Christian church is the poem written by David the psalmist, Psalm 23. We've read it many times. We know the symbolism. But in closing, I'd like to just read it and try to, in your imagination, think of the Lord as being your shepherd and taking you to still waters and providing for your soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house or the presence of the Lord forever. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're thankful that You have given us Your shepherd, given us Jesus Christ to be our shepherd, our model, our example. And we're thankful that He is still our shepherd, and that it's through His spilled blood that we are drawing upon His strength, and that we are asking for forgiveness of our sins. Father, we're weak. We need Your strength. We need Your guidance. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that You will fill us with Your Spirit, that You will give us guidance and direction in our lives, each of us individually. Fulfill our needs. Bless those that we're praying for. Strengthen us. And save us all in Your eternal kingdom, we pray in Your Son's dear name, our Shepherd's dear name. Amen.